Sorry, I'm all over the place today. The book of Hosea, the reason that it's, I think, funny that it came up for Father's Day, is Hosea probably has the most messed up family in the Bible. You could make a case for Jacob's family. We've talked about the issues that they have. But you could make a strong case for Hosea having the most messed up family in the Bible. And it is that way by design, by God's design, which seems odd. But let's look at the way this book starts. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take for yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." The NIV kind of softens this language by saying, marry a promiscuous wife and have children with her. But what the text is really saying is, he was called to marry a prostitute who he knew would be unfaithful and have children that he knew may not exactly be his children. And all of this is set into place to teach a lesson about God and his people. So right from the start, this is set up to be it's set up to be a very problematic family relationship. But Hosea does this. Hosea marries this woman named Gomer. And they have, or at least Gomer has, three children. Here are Hosea's children. Well, Hosea's children. We're not sure how involved he was. First, they have a son named Jezreel. Probably doesn't mean too much to any of us. Even if you have a footnote saying what the word means, that doesn't really get across the idea that's going on here with meaning a child Jezreel. Because what Jezreel represented, a particular valley in Israel where some things happened but were not all that perfect. It was a valley where you have the king of Israel killing someone to take the land. You have someone who would be king killing to take the throne. It was a place of bloodshed. It was a place of embarrassment. It was not a place that they wanted to talk about. Just to try to come up with maybe a modern comparison to this, maybe a German couple naming their baby Auschwitz. An American couple have an eldest child Guantanamo. Just not exactly memories and images that we want on our minds when you are looking at your child. But here we have little baby Gitmo. And then they have a daughter, Lo Ruhamah, which means not loved. If you can imagine, little baby girl, what shall we call it? Not loved. This family is off to a great start, right? And then they have a son named Lo Ami, which means not my people. Which, to be fair, this might just be truth in advertising for Hosea. But this is another unlikely, this is another isn't something to make a parent to be calling across a playground. Right? Not Michael, not loved, and Gitmo. Jezreel. These names weren't just given to embarrass Hosea and Gomer. These names teach a lesson to Israel about their relationship with their God. And it's not a hidden lesson. It comes right out with it. Because right after being told this statement of having these children of unfaithfulness, Hosea talks about this relationship with God, saying, God chose Israel knowing they would be unfaithful. And knew that the generations that would come after having chosen Israel, that they would, even though intended to be God's great pride, and intended to be a people that God can show love to, and make the statement, these are my people, he knew they would not act that way. He knew that much of what the generations to come would do would be an embarrassment to God. Nations would see them and say, these are the people that bear the name of Yahweh. That doesn't say too much about Yahweh. He said that they would act in a way that they would not be deserving of that love. Act in a way that do not look like God's people. So they would say, not my people. I think of all of the prophets, Hosea is probably the one who most understood his message. He lived it. Hosea felt emotions that God felt he dealt with his people. He knew what it was like to have an unfaithful partner. He knew what it was like to have children that were not what he expected and wanted. And yet that was not the end of Hosea's story. Actually, the narrative portion of Hosea takes up just the first three chapters. And in chapter 3, Hosea is called to take his wife back. In fact, he had to buy her back from someone who she had run off with. And he is told to love her again. And we get these statements. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, new wine, and the new olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. And I will plant her for myself in the land, and I will show my love to the one that I called, not my loved one. And I will say to these people called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. And that's where Hosea is called to take Gomer back, to restore these relationships. Hosea understood this message of God seeking his people in a way that none of the other prophets could. He lived it out. And while only the first three chapters of the book have this narrative about Hosea and his family, the rest of the book has the fingerprints all over it. The rest of the book talks about the relationship between God and his people in terms of a marriage relationship. It talks about this relationship in terms of a parent-child relationship, which we are not unfamiliar with that imagery when it comes to God and his people. We use that terminology. It's Father's Day in a church. We've heard lots of statements about the Father, right? But coming out of this story of Hosea and his family, these images and these ideas are loaded with all of this emotion that was set up by the first three chapters. I'm going to skip over a few chapters here that deal more with the language of the adulterous partner, because I want to get more to the parent-child language. It is Father's Day, after all. I want to go to Hosea chapter 11. Which on one hand has one well-known verse from the Gospel of Matthew. But given the imagery that we've had of Hosea and his family and the heartache and how he must have felt going through all of this, when we shift gears and hear God talking about Israel, and some of this uses the term Ephraim, which is a name for the northern kingdom of Israel. When you hear him talking about Israel, I think it really carries a greater amount of emotion. So let's read through this chapter. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals. They burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like the one who lifts a little child to the cheek. I bent down to feed them. Think about the imagery there. God saying, not just these are my children in terms of creator, but I said, I called them out. I taught them to walk. You get this image of a parent picking a child up, teaching them to walk, and as soon as they can walk, they run away. It says, bent down to feed them, lifted the child up to the cheek. There is very tender language here of a parent wanting to care for and take and give the best to a child, and every opportunity turned away. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities, and it will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. Now you may be thinking, that sounds like a prophet to me. We've been going through some of the prophets in a Tuesday morning class, and George is probably thinking, there's another one of those prophet statements saying that people messed up. Right, George? Yep. And he likes to point out, we've read stuff like this before. And we have. It's very well known. At this time, this was 8th century BC. This was right before, like it says, Assyria was going to come in and take over the northern kingdom. Because they have turned away from God. We see other prophets at the same time, Micah and Amos saying, return to the Lord, turn to the Lord, he will turn to you. They didn't. And so these three verses are what we expect. Sure, we have some nice parent imagery, but here is what we expect. Obviously now God is turning and destroying them, because that's what God does. God does justice. And when the people deserve it, the people get the justice, right? though you might not expect. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All of my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man. The Holy One among you, I will not come against their cities. I think it is very... This is a very moving section to me. Not just saying, I loved them, and they turned away. Not just saying, and they deserve this destruction. But it's God saying, I can't do that to my child. I can't do that to my people. While fully acknowledging that's what they have coming. He says he will not come up against them. He said in time they will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt trembling like sparrows, from Assyria fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Just like Hosea was called to do. God said, I will restore the relationship. Exile will not be the end. The people will be called back out. Because God loves his children. And as I was spending time with Hosea, and these things that are said about Hosea and his children, and God and his children, and these ideas of pride versus embarrassment, loved and not loved, my people, not my people. God saying, these people deserve justice, they deserve punishment, but I can't do it. Another text came into my mind. Very early on in Jesus' ministry, in fact, the beginning point, Jesus goes to John to be baptized. And before he goes into the wilderness to be tempted, as he comes out of the water, do you remember what happens to that scene? It says, Spirit comes down like a dove. And you remember what God said about Jesus in that moment. This is my Son, whom I love. In him, I am well pleased. All of the things that Israel could not be in the time of Hosea, we see embodied in Jesus. He would not be called an embarrassment. He would not be called not loved. He would not be called not my people, because Jesus was everything that God's children could not be up to that point. But unlike what we see in Hosea, God did not spare his Son. In the gospel, we see God's love for his children. That same love expressed in Hosea, we see God's love for his children was so great that he did not even was not even willing. This came out perfectly in the car on the way here. Love for his children is so great. He was not willing to spare his son. I said it right that time, right? Oh, good. Jesus, the one who was not deserving of God turning his back on him. God did. Now, there's a few different interpretations on what exactly is meant when Jesus was saying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" It could be that the first time he's taking on sin, feeling separation in that way. Someone suggested at one point, I don't know if this is the answer, but someone said to me one time that this may be the time that God could not bear to watch. And it was necessary at this time that God turned his back, letting Jesus take all of what we deserve, all of what the people at the time deserve, all the things that the people in Hosea's time deserved, all of the sin of all time put on Jesus. Because we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much. That says, "How can I give you up? How can I hand you over? How can I treat you harshly? How can I make you like a stranger?" That's the heart of the Father. That's our Father's Day message for today. We are able to be God's people. And we are truly loved. And we are truly able to say that God takes pride in us because of this gospel story and because of who God is. If you need to respond in any way this morning, let us know. If you have been turning away from God and need to come back, and you need prayers, let us know. If you want to be baptized and be part of this family that we're talking about, let us know about that as well. If there's anything you need this morning, please let us know as we stand and sing.
I was seen, indeed, and sin, far from the peaceful shore.